We got things up and running.
How fantastic. Can we be? Because I've not pushed the subscribe button.
Ooh. What?
I've not pushed the stream button.
It's working.
Literally, I haven't pushed the stream button.
It's going. Trust me.
That is very weird. I haven't hit go live.
I mean, there was a link available. I've put it out and it's going.
Okay. Sue's here as well. Wow, that is scary.
Ian hit go live with the power of his mind. Ian is Obi-Wan.
I am. And Coop's the young Obi-Wan.
Use the Force, Waterfall.
Apparently so.
Use the Force, Luke. You'll see that on the Portsmouth thing. Coop's with a lightsaber in his hand. It's not a majestic spectacle. Let's just say that. The Portsmouth mockumentary. What shenanigans goes down on the South Coast?
How does it look, just out of interest?
Yeah, exactly.
Very basic. I've basically not been able to edit anything.
Oh.
I've just been putting raw footage in, so that's what I mean. I've got a big task.
So you've set yourself a deadline, and then now...
I'm hoping the deadline is going to help my ADHD brain target focus. Mm. If it's not out, we'll have alerted everybody already. This week, was catching some Zeds just a snooze fest? The Squirtles are back in town again.
Literally.
And Blue, the Tyrant, is coming to Adventure Week. Welcome back to the Incensed Podcast, and once again, we're back being a dog trio of a show. We have a man who handled some serious wood at the weekend. It is Masterful 27.
Toit.
The guy who couldn't handle the rain like his name suggests, it's Ian Waterfall.
Nice.
And I am your host, Pogo Miley UK, who's just finished chasing some rhinos.
Fair dinkum.
Digitally, we don't condone... What is it?
Lurking.
Lurking. Poaching. Poaching. I've been poaching some Rhyhorn. Boys, how are we doing tonight?
Well, as we spoke about literally, say, just before we recorded, about 20 minutes ago, it's been one hell of a week. I am struggling to stay awake today. So let's make this an energetic one, guys, because you do not want to hear me snoring throughout the show.
No, definitely not.
Catching some Zeds did you a number.
I need to catch some Zeds, actually. Catch some Zs.
Definitely, I agree with Ian. And thank you so much, Cricket, for joining us last week.
Nice.
She's never left.
I think it was your energy alone that kept me from falling asleep on the last one as well, because we were recording late then.
Fair dinkum.
At least you sound bites, sir, boys.
No, Cricket's actually here still. She never left.
I never left.
We've only allowed her to say those three phrases, though.
Yeah.
That's it.
But Milo, how are you? I'm sure you've got more energy being the younger member of the band.
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I'm back up at full health. I had a spout of illness over the weekend, which was not good fun. I was probably feeling a lot like you yesterday, which is why I was very unproductive. But we're not going to be unproductive on this show because there is a lot to talk about.
It certainly is.
And not just shinies, there's some stupid stuff to talk about as well.
Stupid stuff.
There really is some stupid stuff. So, as we say every single week, listeners, it is time to...
Pop your incenses, champions. Let's go.
And if you pick up something that is shiny, hundo, nundo, a combination of some of those factors somehow, or if something matters to you, let us know on any of our socials or our campfire or through the email incensedpodcast@yahoo.com. Our socials can not only be all found on our link tree, the tag handle is basically at Incense Podcast. You can find us practically anywhere, including Threads, Ian, as you've
yes,
mentioned.
Yes, we are on Threads. We've only used it twice, but we're there.
Is that a thing?
Hive is still a thing, but I don't know of anybody that actually uses it.
I would love if we picked up a shiny of the week through Hive. That would be...
We'd need to log back
hives.
Into it.
What are you on about? Hives?
Hives.
Ah, right.
Who's been stealing beehives? And of course, the way that we find your fabulous catches is using our famous hashtag shinies of the week.
Can you clarify the spelling?
S-H-I-N-I-E-S-O-F-T-H-E-W-E-E-K.
Toit.
That's the way that we find your good stuff, your good catches.
Good catches. I would be South African.
I'll do a South African like Coops did on this South African like Coops did on his intro last week. But we'll go from one Australian counterpart to the other.
And now, children, it's time for Getting to Know You with the Incensed Podcast.
This question is actually not one of the ones that was suggested on the many, many lists of questions you can find on the internet. And actually going through the list, I was struggling to think of one.
You went a bit West Country then, struggling. Ooh.
struggling.
I'm a bit struggling
through all kinds of things today. Who knows what accent will come out next?
Yes, Gerald.
Who's rising first? Yeah. Do you know what you guys have got the show notes? You know what the question is. I could talk in any old gibberish.
We know what the question is. The listener might not.
The listeners don't. Yes.
Yeah, we know. Getting
to know you, where we don't tell you what the question is. You have to guess based on our
answer. It's like Jeopardy. We give the answer and they have to guess the question.
I like that.
Let's do it another time. Anyway, shall we have Ian answer this first? What is something that people underestimate about you? I guess, what is something that you think people underestimate about you?
Well, yes. People generally think I don't know what I'm talking about in pretty much any given situation. So somebody will ask me something, I'll give them an answer. Then they'll ask somebody else the same question.
So you're intelligent.
Get the same answer. Yes, basically, they think I'm stupid. But essentially, that's it. So I literally, they would rather get the same answer from somebody else to what I've already given them because they don't trust what I'm saying to them.
That's just frightful. How dare they?
It's not new. Okay.
So Vassafal's intelligence.
Yes.
Marky.
I'm not going to lie to you, boys. I only read this question just before we started recording tonight because I wanted to put myself on the spot a little bit.
Okay, so you've had exactly 17 minutes to think about it.
I do this for a reason, because it plays into my cunning plan of what people actually think about me.
All right, Baldrick.
Do you like that? People underestimate for my demeanour how much I actually do prepare for things. It's quite funny. I might give the impression that, and I certainly do it in quite a lot of situations, that I kind of wing it, go in there and give it a go. And I'm not lying, I have done that sometimes. If I'm very confident with what I'm going to be doing, I don't need to prepare as much as I can, but I think people think I do that for everything. And actually, I do think that people underestimate how much I do actually plan and prepare things. And hopefully those people that do that will still feel that I underestimate it because they won't listen to this podcast. But that is my revelation. I actually do prepare more than you lot actually realise. There you go, Milo. Great question. So Ian's intelligence and my ability to prepare.
It would be very amusing if the casual thought that was going to be his answer, but we're moving on swiftly.
What do people underestimate about Coops? That he'll turn up every week?
How ginger he actually is in real life?
How ginger is he? He's very ginger in real life, but on video he looks darker.
He does. He looks more auburn, doesn't he? Or I was going to say bourbon then. He doesn't look like bourbon.
Can someone do that? Where's the Italian tripod? Yeah, Photoshop Coops' face onto a chocolate biscuit.
He's not a bourbon, he's a ginger nut.
Ginger nut.
Ginger nut, yes. It did actually get me thinking. It's like this question, what do people underestimate about me and sort of having to really think about it is my physical strength. Because I'm quite a lanky, like thin person. So people probably think like, he's not able to whatever carry bits and pieces and lift things. I can actually lift some heavy bits and pieces. So I'm quite strong. It doesn't appear it that way because you're not some Machamp looking trainer.
You carry a lot of Pokemon knowledge around, don't you, Milo?
And the weight of that is profound. Also carry a lot of Incense Podcast stickers. They're lead lined.
Oh, stickers.
London stickers. See that little plug there? We should have some at London Go Fest.
Shiny stickers.
Oh, glossy stickers. Yeah,
if we put the holographic.
Actually, to be fair, the service I used to ward them, I could have got holographic ones, but I didn't.
I know, dude.
Yes.
I've done it. It looks so good. It looks so good. But lovely answers, boys. Very interesting. And we won't be putting that to a poll. We've got something a bit more fossil related lined up for later in the show. But Ian, since you're feeling a bit woozy and snoozy, talk to us about a passive aggressive koala.
Yes, so last Saturday was the Catching Some Z's event in Pokemon Go, which was kind of a dead event because, with the exception of the release of Kamala in the wild, which was pretty much all that us in Europe could do, the whole event was tied to the launch of the Pokemon Go Plus, which this special research becomes active when you register your device to your game. For those of us in Europe that don't get the Plus available till this Friday or two days ago, as you're listening to this, all we could really do was look for some boring spawns and a koala that I found was actually pretty darn rare in the wild. I struggled to find many of them. Yes. So let's have a chat, boys. Thoughts?
For me, events like this actually play into my hands. As people know, I don't fully submerge myself in these events. Life is far too short to fully submerge yourself in events certainly like this. And you can play these around pretty much real life. I did like the fact that Kamala, I kept calling it koala actually over the weekend. I like the fact that Kamala,
it is a koala.
Say what you see. I like the fact that Kamala was difficult to find. You can't really do anything with it, so it doesn't. It's just a cute little Pokemon that should have been reasonably locked. Let's face it, they missed a real trick there. I get it, well, they've done it. However, I think because of the delay in getting the Go Plus Plus, and I'm not saying that everybody would get one, kind of meant that a lot of people couldn't start that part of it, which I think would have been a lovely launch into this event. And I think when we spoke about this last week, I think I was pretty bob on, actually, even though we didn't have all the information there, was you needed the device to get the Snorlax, wear the nightcap. And cunning Niantic, see, they can be clever, have designed it so if you do share it with someone else, you can't complete it.
When I saw the research and you have to track your sleep for 7 days, it's like, okay, so you can get the research, everyone get the research, but you can't complete
it. Have you seen stage two?
Oh, yes. Was that the track your sleep for 7 days?
Month. No, no, you have to track your sleep for a month.
28
mate.
Days. Wow. Yeah. Days, yeah.
So it's like 35 days or something in total tracking your sleep, and then you get 5 Snorlax encounters overall with the nightcap.
And we will talk about this in a bit, but the event itself, it was a played down event, which we needed. I think Adventure Week is going to be epic. I think then we just wind ourselves down to GoFest. And I think this was quite a nice little lully weekend because, as Ian rightly said, you know, it was nice. I did my first showcase. I wasn't able to do the showcases on Squirtle because I had an error with my game. And I wasn't the only person that had an error. But I was able to put my Snorlax in and I came 6th. So that was quite nice. 29 people took place in my showcase. So there are other people playing the game in the town. So listen to the podcast and meet up and do events. That's all I'm saying.
Find their names. Find
I think showcase names, is quite a good point to discuss, actually, after Milo's given his thoughts, because
I would like to dive into showcases at some point, definitely. I can only sort of echo what you guys were saying. Yes, it was kind of downplayed and a bit chill, which is good. And we need that leading up to the GoFest month. But it was almost going too far the other way. As you said, Ian, here in the UK, the whole of Europe, you were stuck chasing a koala.
That was
basically
it.
The new Pokemon. Yeah. I didn't grind the whole weekend because of other commitments and things. But I went around and checked as much as I could and I picked up the grand total of like 9.
I only found 3, but I only played the Sunday because of Saturday. I was also very busy.
Snorlax was around the wild.
It was very freely available. It was everywhere.
But I don't know about you guys. The most common two I saw were Teddy Ursa and Slakoth.
I'd go with that. Yeah.
And I don't know about you, prefer when they have an event and they say, like, if you're lucky, or the some trainers may encounter article bit, where they say, like, these are the rarer, more exclusive spawns. If they put Kamala in that bracket, I wouldn't be having this point right now, because it was by far and away the rarest spawn. Yeah.
And as a debut, it probably should be. But at least tell us it's going to be rare.
I think there should have been field research. Put the quests out there for the 2 days, saying, like, I don't know, catch 10 normal type, get you a Kamala. Because that would have been a really easy thing. You know, there's no effort really involved in chasing quests from stops, that sort of thing. Just a little extra detail to spruce up the event. Otherwise, it was quite flat. Moving on to the showcases, though, I want to know what, if you've taken part in one, what have your rewards been like? Because mine have been very bad.
I did see a lot of people say it's very hard to capture your rewards on these showcases. And yeah, I think because they're that bad, that's why they flick through them very quickly. And you can't go back in the journal and find the evidence. I came 6th and I got 800 Stardust and I got 1,000 XP.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's good.
That's, low bracket stuff. What about you, Ian?
So when they first launched a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I came 2nd in the first one I did, and I got a lore module from it, which was quite a nice reward and some Stardust. The ones at the weekend, what I am finding is if you get into the showcases early, you quite quickly go down the rankings. I don't know why.
Yes.
So I was 1st, 2nd and 5th on the 3 that I was in at the weekend. And the highest I finished was 6th out of all 3 that I did in the final rankings. Mm. But one thing I will say is, and I struggle with Pokemon storage because I am a live dex collector and I do like to save a good selection of mons, but I don't save XXS and XXL, which is starting to bite me on the ass now. If Niantic are wanting us to stockpile all of these extremes of size, then really they I know people are going to come at me and say, but you don't need like X number of Pokemon, but give us more storage. I like to keep my shinies. I like to keep all of my good mons, all of my good legendaries, all of my hundos, and my dex is getting pretty full and I'm playing with about 300 spaces, which if I'm now stockpiling XXS and XXL, I'm going to run out of space pretty darn quick. So I'm just transferring stuff that's trash, which is probably why I'm not doing so well on these showcases. cases.
Yeah, I remember talking about it when it initially launched, sort of saying, this feels like them bringing a new feature in to justify that XXS and XXL feature that dropped several months beforehand. And it is sort of a thing of, I'm like you, Ian, I don't really care. Unless it's going to be a Hundo or a Nundo or a shiny XXL or XXS, then fine, I'll hang on to it. But if it's just a bad IV, extra large yeah. Snorlax, like, sorry, mate, you're being traded and binned.
Totally.
It doesn't hold enough value. And the thing is, with the reward factor, I think I arrived sixth place, much like Marky, and I got about 800 dust and 1,000 XP. But when they first dropped with the first day release, wherever it was, I think it was Squirtle for the 7th anniversary event, I came first and third in two showcases.
The first round I did a lot better than the recent rounds.
And I still got trash rewards. I got 2,000 dust, 5 great balls, a fast TM and some XP. I think it was like 2,000 XP.
So really, me coming like, second got the best rewards out of that first round.
Like, that's, I don't class that as premium rewards. So
what do you mean? 5 great balls is a good reward?
Give me ultras. It's like when I was seeing other people, like I remember someone I was with and they got first place and they got an incubator and a star piece and a lure module. And
they did say
egg.
Premium items.
I'm like, why is going? Why
they did say premium items would be coming to the top places, and you'd expect at least the sort of 3 podium places getting good rewards,
getting good stuff. Yeah, and it might encourage them a bit more. And it's sort of they're trying to bring justification with the showcases because there's a new medal to go for it,
which I still don't have because I haven't come first for one yet.
Just give a bit more zest to them. And the other thing I was going to ask is, what do you think about them at the moment? Because they've all been event tied.
I think they will be. I don't think there's going to be generic.
Do you not think it would be interesting to have like a daily one running, like just a random Pokemon that cycles through, like a bit?
That would
give
you a better chance at getting a higher ranking, of course, because when they're on for 2-3 days, it's too long, in my opinion.
Yeah. And as you say, when you plonk your Mon into it first up, you very quickly go down the rankings. And for some reason, sometimes it lets you switch them on. Sometimes it won't let you switch them on, I found.
Because it's the first time I've ever experienced a showcase. And I like the fact that I didn't have to be next to Pokestop to put a Pokemon in it. I think that's quite cool.
If you catch the one that's featured, you can do it from wherever you are. But if you want to place one in it, you need to be near the stop.
Yeah, because I think I caught one, put it in, then I could change it without being near it because I was already in it then. Yeah. So I like that. That's a nice little glitch that they'll probably fix for the next time. So. But I think there's got to be, going back to the point you made about XXS and XXL and value of them, I know that when you search to change your showcase Pokemon, it gives you a points total value.
Yes, and Pokemon. I like the fact that it tells you what points it's got so you can see the best
one. I do
one.
Like that, but I wish they'd do that when you catch them outside of showcases so you could decide, should I keep that one or not? We talk about bag space being really valuable. Like you said, if you go, it's large, you know, how large is it? Is it a great large? Is it a really bad large? You know, if it said it's large, you caught it and said, this is worth 712 points to the showcase, I'd go, oh, I'll probably keep that one then, because I've deleted so many XXLs, so many XXSs.
Same.
And I'm like going, I'd have no guidance when I catch it how good that could be in the future for a showcase. So that would be quite a nice little update if it did that, because they'll know what the points are for these Pokemon. Yeah, that's my rant over. I like the concept of them, but I'm not going to hold on to them.
No, I'm fully with you, mate. I'm fully with you. That sort of, they don't give enough reward or...
There's not enough value in them. For example, Squirtle.
No.
If that's going to be in a showcase once in a year, is it really worth holding on to a few?
No.
Probably not.
No. And the thing is, then you don't know if the showcase is going to be, what's the heaviest? What's the tallest? Yeah. What's the shortest?
Well, exactly, because it can be for so many metrics.
Yeah. Nah. I'm good, thank you. Speaking of things that might be a bit unnecessary, the Pokemon Go Plus device. Now, we've all seen on social media the peeps in America and the land down under and various other parts of the globe getting their devices. What do we think? Because I'm feeling it looks a bit cringe. Nowhere near as discreet as the original Go Plus.
Well, I don't play. I have played with an auto catcher in the past. I don't now. I catch everything I catch by hand. I spin everything I spin by hand. I'm not spending 50 quid just to get a special research in 5 encounters with Snorlax.
So that John Hankey knows when you're sleeping.
It's like John Hankey, like Santa Claus. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Milo, he knows if you've been bad or good.
He's going to sell your data and make a lot of money.
Niantic don't sell data. They've told us that.
I know.
You're awake anyway, Ian. I'll follow on for me, Ian, and this is by no way aimed at anyone in particular. One of the observations I've made is how critical certain people are in the Pokemon Go space about this. But as soon as they've got their hands on it, they've changed their tune on it, and now it's the best thing since sliced bread. We know who those people are.
I genuinely don't, so who?
I'll tell you afterwards, Ian. But anyway, that's frustrated me, and this is all linked to the Go++. I have no issue if people want it to play it however they want to play it. For me, it gives you two different options to play Pokemon Go. It allows you to get a lot of bonuses when you sleep. For those people who are very critical about, well, why does it work when you're sleeping? That's not what Pokemon Go is about. That's not what Niantic's core values are about.
I'm sick of seeing that all over social, for God's sake, seriously.
It's not that deep. Get over it. I do find it quite funny how people are going, oh my goodness, I can't believe Niantic are doing this, getting our sleep data, but then they've bought it on day one and they've got this device.
Yeah.
And I'm like
yeah.
going, you might say you're not going to play it when you sleep. If you've got your Snorlax with a nightcap, you will all be playing it when you sleep. As far as the device is concerned, I spent a lot of money on buying the auto-catching device. A Canadian creator of ours who we really like raves about, and he says it is the best thing since sliced bread. I bought it, and it was really good, but I don't use it anymore. So
I used to love the Go Plus, yeah. but I just don't use them anymore.
No.
I really don't. I'm of the opinion, probably like Mark, if I can't play the game what I see as properly, I know I'm starting to sound like Ken now, but so apologies.
Voldemort.
But if Voldemort. I can't play the game what I feel as genuinely and catch things myself, I don't want a Pokedex full of stuff that I've just pushed a button to catch. It takes the fun out of the game. In terms of the Go Plus, I hate the fact that it flashes like a 1980s kids toy. How the hell are you meant to sleep with like flashing green, red, white, blue lights? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
That was going to be my biggest gripe on it. For me personally, I have the old Pokemon Go Plus and it's fine. The old thing of using the paperclip to hold it down, I have used other devices in the past, shall we say. The one from our trainer club, man. But I used to be very heavy on just actually catching with it back in 2019 and 2020. Now, as I've got through the game, I like to know what I'm catching and physically catching it. And I don't like the fact that stuff could run away from me. But I will say I don't have an issue with it spinning stops automatically for me.
Spinning stops, I'm good with.
I'm good with that. It's resources, isn't it, at the end? We know how hard it is to build up for events. Definitely. Absolutely.
With GoFest coming up, it's critical. Yeah. But if you go somewhere new, I like to know what's around me if it's somewhere new. But if I'm doing Spotlight Hour for the 400 millionth time in my local park, I'll just whack the Go Plus on and just spin stops. What I do despise, and at the moment there's no way to disable these functions, it's like a mini rave. It makes me think of, have you seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2?
Yes, yes.
With the party in a box.
Yes, it is like a party.
It's that. It's like we need to celebrate every catch you make. It's just unnecessary.
And in the chat, Milo, Sue's saying that because Sue has the Go Plus, you have to disconnect it from Pogo before you go to sleep to register your sleep. So you're having to connect and disconnect it every day.
That's wild. Sue, does it say that in the instructions anywhere on the device, or have you figured that out for yourself? Because I'm genuinely curious. Sue had to figure it out.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. You launch a device and don't actually list the functions on it. Brilliant. Part of me thinks that might be one of the reasons, because at the moment, you guys don't use the devices. I'm using a device for spinning stops.
A Go Plus.
There's a bug at the moment with the older devices, because the new ones come out, where, because the menu's changed and everything, when you connect it for the first time after maybe an hour or whatever, starting your day, it doesn't automatically do it. You have to go into the settings and turn it off and on again to make it work. And I'm hoping they patch those bugs soon.
It's a lovely accessory. I get it. An official device. It's been a long time coming for Pokemon Go. And something which is hopefully easily accessible. Because when these first devices came out, there weren't many of them made. Because the game obviously was at a difference in its infancy. And it was very different times. I get the excitement for people that love Pokemon things. Going there, buying their device. Absolutely get it. I think it looks really nice. I know it's a bit bigger.
I was going to say the size puts me off.
Yeah.
It literally looks like somebody sat on a Pokeball Plus and then come out with this.
Squashed it.
It's the size of a drinks coaster.
Not discreet.
It's
quite large. It's like palm size almost.
And it's the fact that like the vibration, the fact that it vibrates constantly. Like I want to put it on the table or put it in my pocket. I don't want my pocket.
I would think you could probably, and again, I don't know. We haven't
apparently
got it yet. I would think you could probably, you can't turn the vibration off.
You can't turn the
off.
Vibrations off apparently.
Well,
I
that
have
sucks.
Seen, I don't know whether this is okay to say, but I have seen on social media, somebody disassembled their Pokemon Go Plus and found the wires responsible and desoldered them. So theirs doesn't vibrate or light up anymore.
But that invalidates the warranty.
Yeah.
Small price to pay.
Small price to pay. But like wrapping up, if you're a younger player and you love playing Pokemon Go and your parents want to encourage your child to sleep better and you can link it to that and you can show them there's motivation for going to bed earlier and getting up earlier and getting a good sleep pattern and you get rewarded for it, I think that's nothing short of, but I think that's really good. I think it instills good behaviour and I think that's a really, really commendable angle where they're going with
interesting.
This. You can play with it, not discreetly, and have a disco and celebrate everything you do with it whilst you play it with the game, or you can turn it off and put it next to you, disconnect it from the game where it probably won't do anything and it'll monitor your sleep for you. It offers two very different things. If you just see how many people at GoFest are going to have these devices, because if they do, the police will think there's an illegal rave going on in the daylight.
Who's going to be sat there at GoFest?
Silent disco.
Vibrating.
I'll round up my part of this conversation in that my iPhone tracks my sleep, so I don't need to spend another 50 quid to buy a little plastic ball that does nothing that I actually wanted to do, just so I can have an authorised accessory that I'm going to just do special research for and then just leave on the side gathering dust.
They'll have a resale value, won't they, these devices? So I reckon people just sell them.
Oh, they will. I mean, when they become rare, they'll be expensive, just like the Go Plus
was. Do you want to do the research, mate? You can have mine for a month. Give me 20 quid. Yeah, all right.
I'll give you a fiver.
So do the research.
I'll rent it for a fiver.
35 days. It would be quite nice to see that maybe the research is a rolling on thing. Like, if you have the device, it would be quite interesting if, like, the research breakthrough you get normally for doing a stamp every single day. Like, if you track your sleep every day for a week, you get
they're
a small answer with a nightcap. It won't happen, but that's just something that we think of because Niantic fails to. But I will round out the chat properly by saying I just hope that people start making cases for these things that are soundproof and are made of the darkest black paint that is available on the planet.
So basically saying you want a lead box.
Yes,
I want a lead box for the thing that at least can still connect to my phone, because I can't have it sitting there vibrating and lighting up like an atomic explosion or something on the tabletop at GoFest.
I have something that will fix it for you, Milo.
Do you? Is it a sledgehammer?
It's a baseball bat.
Oh, it's a baseball bat. Oh, okay. I was going a bit more grand, Ian. Sledgehammer it.
I don't have anything more grand within arm's reach.
Done well to have that in arm's reach, Ian. I've got to say, that's pretty impressive, mate. Well,
that's to protect the podcast edit, should anyone come near him while he's doing
that's
it.
That's to protect all my Mac stuff. Stay away!
Oh, goodness me. But that was last weekend. And speaking of last weekend, you may remember a certain man swept a victory in Play Your Decks Right. So it's over to the newly knighted Sir Game Masterful 27-4.
Shiny, happy Pokemon, shiny, happy Pokemon.
That's a great jingle.
Thank you.
We'll also be never rid of Coops. He's always on some kind of jingle somewhere.
He is. Oh, dear.
That's why he made sure he's on all the jingles, so if there's ever a show without him, he's still
featured. That's very true, Ian. It's a back catalogue, isn't it? He'll get royalties for every episode, in theory, won't he?
No, he won't get royalties.
No. He shall not get those royalties. Well, it is the game Shiny Happy Pokemon. It's been a little while since we've played this game. I will explain the rules very quickly and very basically for our listeners if this is the first time you've heard this game being played. So Shiny Happy Pokemon is as simple as the title sounds. I will pick a Pokemon, I will name a part of the Pokemon, and I'll ask the boys, what colour is its shiny variant? So if I said, Minum's ears, what colour would they be, boys?
They're like a turquoisey green.
Yeah, that's turquoise, it, yeah. Mint. It's only been shown as I've got, by the way, boys, so that'll limit it a little bit.
Right. That's okay.
So anyway, that is how we play the game. The rounds will start a little bit simpler and a bit easy as they will go harder as we go further into the competition. I'm going to start with you, Milo. What colour are the eyes and nose on shiny Venonat?
They are blue.
That is correct.
Very nice blue.
It is a nice blue, isn't it?
I still don't have that shiny, so I wouldn't.
Oh, Ian, oh, bless you. Well, Ian, what colour is the nose on Shiny Diglett.
Blue.
That is correct.
Akin to Milo's t-shirt.
It's a nice blue.
Not quite a raw blue.
All right, Milo.
Diglett let me down.
Why are your panties in such a twist?
Very good question, Echo. Who knows? Milo, your question is, what colour is the satchel on Shiny? I'm joking. We're not there yet. With the up-and-coming Adventure Week event coming on, let's focus on some of the Pokemon that will be gracing our Pokemon screens.
Goodness me.
So, Milo, I want to know, what colour is the body of Shiny Omanyte?
The body that's like the tentacles.
The squidgy bit.
The squidgy organic bit. It's purple.
That is correct. Mr. Waterfall, I want to know what colour is the body on Shiny Kabuto?
The shell?
The shell.
Green, it looks like a Skittle.
Absolutely correct, Ian.
It's a fossilised Skittle.
So we're into round three.
Nice.
It's nice indeed. Right, Milo, what colour is the majority of the body on Shiny Azumarill. I'll say the wrong way, Azumarill, and it's not the white bits, basically. Everything bar the white.
No. It's a gold Shiny, isn't it?
It is. It's a great Shiny. Ian, what colour is the entirety of Shiny Wobbuffet?
You're just rubbing this in now, aren't you? Because I still don't have that one. It's purple.
Oh, Ian. Right, I think we need to spice things up a little bit. We've got to round four now, and I think I've been a little bit nice to the boys. Milo, what colour is the tail on Shiny Smeargle?
By tail, you mean the end bit that's the paintbrush to you.
That is correct.
It's a ready orange.
That is correct. Ian, very good. You predicted that very good.
Ian knows it.
Mr. Ian, on the main body, not the legs, the tail and the beak, on Porygon 2, what colour is its main part of the body?
Like a purpley colour, isn't it?
What was that, Ian?
Is it purpley colour?
It's... They're the bits that are. They're the other bits here. They're the purple bits.
He's gone the wrong side.
It's blue. Oh, Ian. Yeah, its beak is purple. Its tail's purple. Its knobbly bits are purple. But its main body's blue.
Knobbly bits.
It's knobbly bits.
Well, well done, Milo. After four rounds of Shiny Happy Pokemon, you are tonight's winner, and you are Sir Game.
Hey, Dingham.
Yes.
I like that.
Sir Game for next week. Henceforth, I shall be known as Sir Game. But thanks for hosting that. We do like that game. It's the most recent game added to the back catalogue that we have available. And it's been a fair while, as you said, since we played it last. So it's nice to have that one back out. But speaking of shiny Pokemon, we can say that we were once again right. So let's jump into...
It's the news.
It's that time of year. It's actually a little bit later this year than it came last year. So June 2022, we had Adventure Week with the debut of Tyrant and Amora. July 27th, 2023 is this year's Adventure Week, which features the debut of Shiny Tyrant and Shiny Amora. But more importantly, and more impressively, the debut of Mega Tyranitar.
Nice.
So, yeah, this is going to be a good Adventure Week. I mean, looking back at last year's Adventure Week, that was a weekend with the Cranidos and Shield on Research Weekend. Such luck this year. But we do have Mega Tyranitar, which... Yeah. Is going to be massive.
Find an XXL one.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. So let's have a quick look. So what can we expect in Adventure Week 2023? Well, it runs from July the 27th through to Wednesday, August 2nd. So 2 days before GoFest, London and Osaka. Lead us
great
right up there. We've already said that Mega Tyranitar will be debuting. And the wild spawns that you can expect for this year's Adventure Week is Omanyte.
Kabuto.
Aerodactyl Satchelus.
Aww.
Lilip.
Anorith.
Cranidos.
Shieldon.
Tortuga.
Archon.
And the new shinies, Tyrant and Amora. What would an Adventure Week be without eggs? And this year for Adventure Week, we have a pool of four Pokemon in 7K eggs. All four can be shiny.
Nice.
And we have Tortuga, Archon, Tyrant, and Amora. So I'm not going to say pretty good odds of getting the shiny you want, but everything in that pool can be shiny. And
don't do it.
Personally speaking, no. I hate egg hatching. I am sorely tempted to the dark side for this one.
Me too. Me too, mate.
I need
me
all
too.
Four. I really do.
So do I.
Yeah, there's a few people that I've heard that wouldn't touch an egg event with a barge pole.
I say that every time, but I always get sucked in.
We recommend you don't, yes. But yeah. Then we do.
It's like, do as I say, not as I do, yeah. Kind of thing.
The good thing is, Ian, if you do go ham, you're still limited by how many you can get, but you can give it a bloody good go, mate, and that's all that matters. I think we'll all be doing that on this one.
And bear in mind that the 7Ks do not drop with every gift that you open, yeah. So...
They'll probably be nerfed.
Yeah. Now,
trainers.
Aurora Adventures. So if you keep an eye in the sky for... the Adventure Week. I'm guessing they're going to do something like the Aurora Borealis, something to do with the sky, make it look all sexy and awesome.
I think they did it last year with...
They do, but I always play the game Amora. Completely zoomed in, so I never see the sky.
Oh, I play zoomed out all the way, but then you really don't see the sky because you got
sorry,
more
sorry,
birds
that's
eye
what
view.
I meant. Sorry, I'm zoomed out. So if you're zoomed in, you can see the sky. I'm zoomed out, so it's...
Yeah. It would be cool.
Field research task encounters might not quite be as cool because in the field research tasks, you're going to find Pokemon such as Omastar, Kabutops, Cradily, Armaldo. You might notice that all of those four are evolutions. Well, the two that aren't evolutions, which are the new shinies, Tyrant and Amora. I don't know how I feel about field research tasks. I'll certainly be looking for the Tyrant and Amora tasks.
I concur, Ian.
I agree.
And what would a Pokemon Go event be in 2023 without a paid timed research?
We're back
yeah,
again.
For $2 US or equivalent, you'll be able to access a timed research. Completing the research tasks will give you the rewards of 2 incubators, a super incubator, and encounters with the event-themed Pokemon. Bear in mind, it's timed research, so you do need to obtain it and complete it before the event finishes at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, the 2nd of August.
Indeed. There is, of course, going to be free timed research that will be for everybody. This time research will ask trainers to choose between exploration and research-focused tasks. Please note that the timed research expires, much like the paid ticket one, August the 2nd at 8 p.m. your local time. More importantly, I would say, is the Adventure Week bonuses. These don't really change with Adventure Weeks through the years. They always stick around the same thing. They are focused on adventuring, spinning Pokestops. So it's double XP with what appears to be the wrong symbol on the article. It has a Stardust symbol on it. It's double XP for spinning Pokestops, which is great. And then 5 times XP for spinning Pokestops for the first time. So if you find an area with a bunch of Pokestops that have halos on them, those are 5 times the amount of XP.
Does that mean you're going to be leaving Ealing for this event?
Not a chance. It is actually going to be half hatch distance for this time round, which I think is a very interesting call with the 7 kilometer eggs, because I don't think that was the case in 2022.
Hang on, I will tell you, because I have that article up here.
Oh my God, he's prepared.
I am prepared.
We must trust in Ian's intelligence.
There was half egg hatch distance last year.
Ah, so I'm wrong. Don't trust in my intelligence. Moving
on. Last year, they actually got the XP logos right for the event bonuses.
Oh, did they? Okay.
They didn't put Stardust and Pokeball.
Anyway, moving on swiftly. Coops' favourite aspect of an event, the collection challenges. So, of course...
Coops might get to 51.
Maybe, if he logs in. Complete this collection challenge by the end of the event to earn encounters with Tyrant and Amora, as well as Stardust. I like the sound of those rewards, actually.
That does sound good, because they can be shiny.
Yeah, and I love raids. I love one-star raids so much. There's none on this event. Okay. joking aside, everyone, we've got 5-star raids and we've got mega raids. It is the introduction... of Regidrago. We've had Regieleki. Those people have missed those Elite Raid days. Well, now Regidrago is going to be replacing our electrical Regie. And with a new Mega Raid, it means actually those T-Tars that we encounter in the wild very infrequently can now be shiny with the release of Mega Tyranitar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which would be very exciting. But yeah, this is the one. A pretty sick-looking design, in all fairness. I haven't really given it too much attention till now.
I think it's more of a tanky rock type. I'm not sure whether perhaps Mega Aerodactyl is more of a attacker rock type mega, but this one's going to be more bulky. So if you want to just last in a raid, this one's still, it's going to be sick either way. It's still good. But that's Adventure Week, boys, 2023. What do we think about that as an event and versus last year?
I'm certainly going to be walking my lunch breaks every day. Joking aside,
I'll get you adventuring.
Okay, I centre around real life for playing the game. You know, for people that might not have that time to play the game, those eggs, if you are that way inclined, are something to go for. And if you are lucky and you get maybe 12, 13 eggs a day, there is an incentive there with a half egg hatch distance of the super incubators to go out there and walk that little bit more each day to try and fit it in to hatch as many of those eggs as you can. Because I know when they had shiny boosted shinies on the male and female Thrillishes, they were boosted because I saw a lot of people hatch them. Hopefully, it will hold that same sort of shiny boost on the eggs. You know, that's my initial take. And I will be going out and walking every lunchtime because I am going to hatch every 7 kilometer egg that I can physically get my hands on throughout that adventure week, because all four of them are ones that I need. All four of them, I haven't got 100 on any of them. I think this is really a great opportunity where you're not going to hatch anything you don't want.
Comparing and contrasting to last year's adventure week, it was also coinciding last year with the Ultra Unlocks from GoFest. So there was extra things in there last year. But I would say that the wild spawns this year are probably slightly better in my opinion. Certainly with things like Archon and Tortuga in the wild.
Because they were researching egg
locked. They were locked last year. And of course, Tyrant and Amora are in the wild as well, which again, they were last year, but they were new releases then. So in terms of what you can get in the wild, the shiny chase is definitely on. The egg chase for me will be on. Now, Mark centers around real life. I tend not to get lunch breaks, so I will have to walk my eggs as and when I can. Which will make it interesting.
You shake your phone.
I just get the shakes anyway when I get lack of caffeine. But
perfect.
Exactly. But for me, I'm probably going to do a few of the Mega Tyranitar raids. I can't for a second think it's going to be 100 Mega Energy.
It will be a 300.
I'll definitely be doing some of those raids. The Regidrago, it kind of works. We had the Regilecki this week with the event. And in fact, you got a shout out on Load Up Milo for getting Adam his Dex Regilecki.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry, I didn't listen
so
to the show.
So maybe you'll have to send him a Regidrago as well next week.
I'll endeavour to do the same, yes.
All in all, I mean, Adventure Week is one of the sort of tentpole events of the year. Banging event going into GoFest. I certainly think it's going to get everybody hyped and ready to go. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. Eggs, going to be doing. Wild spawns, amazing. And the raids, again, certainly the mega raids for me is where my passes are going to be going next week.
Yeah, I've got to agree. Mega T-Tar, definitely better to go for that than Regidrago. Regidrago, I think when we discussed it when it was in the Elite Raids, has possibly got one of the weirdest and worst movesets on a legendary Pokemon you could wish for. If you haven't got it from the Elite Raids, go and do one. I've seen it be soloed, I think, where you can easily duo it because it's just a mono dragon type. So tank it down with stuff. Easy to do. Mega T-Tar probably will be like Salamence being a 300 mega energy evolution.
Well, I did hear people talking that Mega T-Tar might be duoable.
It's double weak to fighting, so it will be duoable.
Yeah.
The thing I like about this Adventure Week compared to last year is that the new shinies are in the wild.
Yes.
And available in more ways. Last year, Archon and Tortuga were so locked behind eggs and quests, and the quests, I think, were catch 25 Pokemon, and they were very rare. Yes. So you were stuck trying to hatch the 7 kilometer eggs. You're limited anyway by the gifts that you can open, and then you probably, like every 7 kilometer focused event, they nerf the egg drop from gifts. So I remember I was getting like less than 20 eggs out of 30 gifts per day, and it was just really long. I will endeavor to hatch every batch of eggs I can do, max out on 7 kilometer eggs, because as Mark and you, Ian, have said, there is nothing bad in that egg pool.
Listen
all
to Mark,
because
I don't have any authority in terms of what I know.
We've clarified that you do, because I was wrong on many factors. But like you guys, I need all.
I need all four. Yeah,
I need all four of them.
And an egg pool of 4 months, you've got a 1 in 4 chance of getting the one that you would like.
Yeah.
Granted, the shiny odds are going to be a lot lower. But probably. A pool of 4 months, it's a fair gamble. Seriously.
Yeah. And I like the fact they've taken the focus away from maybe research tasks and encouraging you to walk rather than stop at quests or things like
that. Yeah, but that's because they're going to sell incubators.
Well, yeah, it's a money-making thing, isn't it? You're 100% right on that. We'll have to see what the quests are for Tyrant and Amora versus the silly evolutions that, you know, are just a little bit of boosted dust. So I won't be chasing those at all. But the bonuses are always good. Adventure Week's great. But I do have one question for you guys. Is do we think an event that is this good and this big traditionally through the years of Pokemon Go, I believe it's one of the longest standing reoccurring events
I think eventually
in the game
been almost
since 2017
since started. Yeah,
I think so. Do we think an event this good a week, even a days before the Go Fest kickoff, is a good idea?
Well, like I said at the beginning of this article, last year it was in June, at early June at that. It's quite late in the year.
Because that was just after one of the Global Go Fests in that case.
It was, yeah. When did it drop last year? It dropped on the 7th of June last year, so it's like a month and a half later this year, leading right into a Go Fest. So, yes, it's going to get people hyped, but I'm hoping it doesn't burn people out. I mean, it's only a week ultimately, but it's going to be a full-on week for people that are chasing these new shinies.
Yes, and the other thing to notice is actually, sorry to completely jump in there, Tyrant and Amora are in the Go Fest pools for spawns.
Just beat
as well.
Me to it, Milo. Mm. Just it completes the gaps that we spoke
mind
about.
Mate.
Yeah. Well, two weeks ago we said that, didn't we? We go, just keep an eye out. There might be an event, and Avi's complete it. So if you don't get them here with the egg boosted shinies, if you're playing Go Fest, you have got a boosted chance of getting the shinies at Go Fest a week later. So actually, I might not be going ham on the eggs. Actually, now I've just taught myself out of it. Because they will be boosted for GoFest.
Yeah. In the chat, Sue's made a fair comment. Adventure Week right before GoFest season starts is kind of sensory overload.
Yeah.
And it is. This is a big event.
We almost needed this and the Pokemon Sleep event to switch.
Yeah, if they switched, then we could have had like a... But then again, would it be more of a roller coaster then? I don't know. In some ways, I think get that hype going and just rock it straight into GoFest. August is going to be massive.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Marky, what do you think about this being so close to Go Fest?
I've got nothing to add other than what's just been said. I agree with Sue 1,000,000%. I think that obviously this is part of the calendar of events. Just how, by nature of how the dates have fallen, they've put this one on. This is later, isn't it?
A lot later,
a month and a half later than last year.
I think they felt like they've had to push this in, but maybe they've already had it. They've always had it planned. They want to just mega build the hype up for it.
I'm saying it's a month and a half later, and it is. Go Fest season's running a month later than usual.
I'm trying to think back, because last year, we had one of the Global Go Fests, the first one, which was the 4th to the 6th of July, I think, something like that. Maybe
it was Global Go Fest, then it was the IRLs, then it was the Go Fest finale.
Yeah, but that meant Adventure Week last year was literally the weekend after the first Global
Go Fest. Yeah,
because
it was part of an Ultra Unlock.
Yeah.
So realistically, it kind of in the right place within the calendar.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's going to be a belting event, isn't it, boys?
It should be a good one. We'll say good luck to everybody on your shiny fossils. I want the blue dino. I want the blue T-Rex.
I'd rather have the T-Rex than the Diplodocus.
The white Diplodocus.
Diplodocus,
yes.
Ian. The Diplodocus.
Very much looking forward to the Adventure Week. But boys, some say that Niantic interns think that email stands for evade messages and ignore logic. And that the new AutoCAD design is based on Simon Says from back in the 80s. All we know is it's time to
Ask the intern.
Very quick Ask the Intern, boys. Do you remember when we were in Portsmouth, there was a little event called Squirtle Community Day Classic?
I think so. It rings a bell.
I do remember,
Coops doesn't, because it was like spend 3 hours in the pub.
His was Pint Community Day.
Yeah. But boys, good news.
What?
Due to the fact that some people that use the Pokemon Trainer Club login and didn't set up a backup login method, we've got Squirtle Community Day 3.0.
Great.
Yes, we've got a whole 3-hour makeup Squirtle Community Day.
Which is happening today, isn't it?
Which is literally today.
Deja vu in this, deja vu.
Not going to go into details, but basically copy paste of the last two Squirtle Community Days.
Are we going back down to Portsmouth again?
No.
No, I'm not making
sorry,
a
Lincoln.
Again. Not for Squirtle.
Sorry, Simon.
Yeah, sorry, PayPal Simon.
But also, and this is what makes me laugh, I'm not going to go into the details, but the release that Niantic put out, it appears that you can actually buy this special research again.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Why?
Because if you couldn't log in...
Yeah, but it wasn't for the whole event, was it? It wasn't logging for the whole event.
You'll play 2 hours of it. If anything, you'd still have it sat there, uncompleted.
Oh, yeah, maybe. But I wonder if it's just the fact that they're taking the precaution of the fact that some people might have chosen to buy the research in the last half an hour of the event when they couldn't log in.
It's possible.
Well, they want to make money for people who couldn't play it last weekend, exactly. Who can this weekend.
If we can buy it again, that'd be hysterical.
But literally, it's... the third Squirtle community day. We've had three first, Squirtle, and have we had, what, two Charmander?
Two Charmanders.
And just one Bulbasaur. Poor old Bulbasaur.
No, Bulbasaur's had
two. Oh, no, it's had a classic. We had two Bulbasaur. Yeah, it has had a classic.
This is the first one to get a classic and a makeup.
So, if anything, like we said before we started recording, it's going to be a quest chase, isn't it, for the Squirtle squad?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But I genuinely don't know if I'll be out for this.
I don't blame people. I've had it 2 weeks ago, and now... it's here again.
But one thing I will say before we move on, if you only have one login method set, please set up a secondary one, like an Apple or a Google one, because if anything's going to break, and history has proven this, it's going to be the Pokemon
Trainer Club accounts, yes.
Yeah. Niantic have said this many times. We can't even blame them. They've said it so many times on socials.
Yes, and there are more ways than ever that you can do a secondary login method. Google, Facebook, Apple, a few other bits and pieces. So yes, well, we can say enjoy what is on my show notes as Squirrel Community Day Classic 3.0 because of autocorrect.
Pachirisu Community Day.
Pachirisu, I'd be so down.
I would love that.
But moving on from something that's happening right now as this episode drops at the moment to something that annoyingly has just happened, but yesterday. We haven't experienced it yet, so we can't really talk about what happened.
Is the news.
It's Reversal. Really? Rio Hatch Day. So 2 to 5 p.m. July the 22nd, increased chance of hatching shiny Riolu from 2Ks as it's been showcased. 2 times dust from hatching eggs and 2 kilometer eggs are going to drop much more frequently. One key thing missing from the event bonuses was a reduced hatch distance.
And this is the first hatch day, so it's possible that... this could be a more regular event. So
Feebas 2.0.
They kind of need to fill the weekends in, so we'll have a community day, a community classic, a hatch day, and a research day, so there's going to be a few things that they can
and
work into
fest.
Weekend events. The big hurdle I see here is I tend to sit on eggs, especially 10Ks.
Chickens do that too.
If yeah, they're quite comfortable, actually. People, if they haven't cleared out, and I know Mark's been said he's been guilty of this in the past, we go into an egg event and he's sat on storage of 9 10Ks. If they're not cleared out before this event starts, it could be a very short, boring, and upsetting event because...
well, it could be that anyway. So let's just say it is 2 to 5. So I'm hoping that people have the intelligence of Ian Waterfall to think, I'm going to potentially go out maybe an hour or so beforehand and walk all my old eggs off and not connect my small disco ball.
People won't listen to me, but I've been even more clever in that I've started clearing them out before the weekend.
Me too. There's no reduced hatch distance, so they're obviously thinking that people are going to buy super incubators, and yes, guilt
is
charged.
The only way you're going to get through a decent number of hatches.
I will do this, but it's still only going to bring you down to, what is it, like 1.3 or something?
0.66, after it was 1.33.
1.33 or something like that. So if you get a batch of 9 twos, walk them off.
And in the community, you walk an average of about 10K. So realistically, you can hatch.
You're
maybe
not going to get through many batches of eggs at all, I would say. And we know from past experience. I'm going to cast your boys' minds back to Togetic Community Day, one of my favourite events. Yeah. Remember when they said Togepi would be hatching from 2Ks within that community day with a boosted shiny rate, but within that pool there was a bunch of other rubbish as well.
And it does say that this will be one of the mons, but it won't be exclusively Riolu. Riolu will just have a higher chance of hatching.
So that's enough of the... actually, it's not enough of the bad news. So the other bad news is field research tasks are only going to be giving you Stardust, Berries, Great Balls, and XP.
Which is fair enough because it's hatch day. You're not going to need tasks on a hatch day, realistically.
It'd be nice if they drop something cooler. First hatch day, give us an incubator. I'm being very wishful here.
You are.
We don't even get them between Christmas and New Year anymore, so I know.
Well, speaking of getting incubators, I was trying to segue myself into that one. Timed research awarding a super incubator for hatching an egg will be available.
A super incubator.
For hatching a egg, so it may be a single task like that. Catch a Pokemon for stage whatever it was of the Master Ball. That's kind of how it was, because we can't say what's already happened.
So they're giving you 3 hatches, essentially, with a super incubator.
That's good of them.
But it does say... good news It does good say news. That the Pokemon Go web store will have a Hatch Day bundle.
It's probably going to be trash. Just
but it is
everybody.
The web store, so you're not going to be able to get this on your handheld device. You will need to go into the web store and buy this, which it isn't difficult to do that. I actually went on it today, and it is very easy to log in and buy from.
Yeah, it's okay. But because it's one of those events that has happened by the time the show drops but hasn't happened by the time we're recording...
We'll talk about it next week.
What do you guys want to get from the event?
Shiny Riolu.
Okay, Marky.
Shiny Riolu.
Okay, I'm going to break the trend. I want a Hundo Riolu.
Okay.
Not a Shundo.
That would be very wishful thinking.
That's the kind of dream, isn't it? But this is one of the things that triggers me when people go, oh, Shundo. Like, the chances of that happening, unless you're doing something nefarious, is very slim.
Indeed. You must check back next week to see how we did.
All I'd say, we all know how these events work, or we all know how this can work, how eggs work. We know they're a lottery.
Yep.
Play it with no expectation and you won't be disappointed.
And it's funny, actually, Mark, I said this on Twitter, not that I ever plugged my Twitter, but I actually said, I know it's going to be like one of those drunken escapades where you know the next day you're going to really hate yourself, but you know you're going to do it anyway.
Absolutely.
We're all going to be guilty of it, I'm fairly sure, but we'll have to see how we do. But Ian, I believe we've had some correspondence through a variety of communication methods.
We have. Which should we go first?
Let's go 21st century. Send your WhatsApps
now. We've had a WhatsApp message from Ketty Spikes from India, and here's what he has to say.
Hi, Incense Podcast. This is Katie Spikes again from rural South India. As you can probably hear, I'm on my night stroll. I just finished last week's episode. And man, Niantic really, really works hard when there's something to patch. When something really benefits the players, they really work hard to patch
it. I know what
he's
getting at.
Also, guys, I really want to ask this question that I missed the old Incense days where you guys swore. It was really kind of adult, and you guys described yourself as down the pub down the pub show. So I was wondering if you can bring one, maybe monthly once, or maybe in 2 months once, you do a Incense podcast After Dark edition. Where it's just like all the filth is flying, and it's like I know that you guys did this for monetary purposes and maybe the podcast can reach more people, but just for the old fans, you can bring back like one episode where you guys are totally raw and uncensored. Also, I was wondering, after like the pushback of the firing of 230 employees and then the Pokemon Discovery radius being nerfed after it was like improved, like going after someone personal and throwing insults at them is never an option. I'd stay away from Twitter, but I just listened to your podcast about it, and it's just we fail to sometimes understand. We failed as like some few keyboard warriors on Twitter, and like anytime like a new announcement is made on YouTube or on Twitter, like there's just people throw insults at the people, and instead of blaming the company itself or like the head management, going after somebody is never okay, because these are real people, and bad decisions of the company, mismanagement of the company has affected real people. Like, real people have lost their, I guess, livelihoods after they've been laid off all of a sudden after working for a big tech company. They've just been laid off. So these are real people in the background getting affected by a company. So if you're angry, throw the anger at the company itself, at the company as a whole, and not go after anybody in particular, because everybody's got a heart, everybody's got feelings, and you wouldn't want to do that when you meet someone across the street in real life. You're just doing that when you have the keyboard and you have a screen in front of you.
Keyboard warriors. Yeah.
Show a little love. Again, thanks, guys. Great work as always. Love you.
Okay, who wants to take it? Thanks, Kenny Spikes.
Yes, thanks for sending that in, as always.
Let's address the elephant walk in the room.
The cricket tots.
Yeah, I say this from the four of us, that we made a conscious decision to become a little bit more family friendly. So we're never going to go back to swearing and being like the very early days.
No, there's a variety of different reasons to why that we, shall we say, cleaned up the language of what we do. We're still the same old people. We just don't chuck in unnecessary
swear words. Like we've got
swear Tourette's. Words and curses and things like that. But we find that we can still get across the points and the humor and the jokes in a more cleanly way, and they still hit just as well, which is something.
Part of the sort of early days, the down the pub. The down the pub is still most definitely still there.
You don't have to swear at a pub.
We've matured. Like Milo quite eloquently said, we can get the same points across without having to swear every third word. And we really don't need it.
There's nothing really else to add to that. It's not like I'm going to come out and go, well, actually, I don't agree with it. And I would love to swear all the time. We had this conversation at Squirtle Community Day. And we had it with Lincoln, actually. And Lincoln won't mind me saying this. He made a really valid point. We attracted our core base of listeners, a proportion of our base core listeners from how we were originally. And I'd like to think that certainly a large percentage of those people are still listening to the podcast, even though we have sort of changed the way we are. The way I described it was, back then, we wouldn't like lead you down a pathway and help you try and find it yourself. We'd grab you, drag you down it and take you right to it with some of the language we used before. We can be just as funny, just as cheeky without dragging you down the path and taking you to it. And I think that's a sign of how we've evolved, how the podcast has certainly evolved and got even more people, family members that have joined us that probably quite like it like that as well. And we're in a really good place.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't be listening if it was like the
compared
old days.
Compared to the early days, the listener base is a lot broader now.
Always move forward with what you're doing.
Yes, sharks move forward, crabs move side to side.
You should know, Ian, Mr. Great White. But the other point was, what about the Keyboard Warriors and things like
Keyboard
that?
Keyboard Warriors and the people going off at individuals within Niantic after the
layoffs. There's not much to really add to what you said, because you said exactly what we've been saying on various shows over the years. Whenever this sort of stuff perks up and resurfaces its ugly head sometimes, it's very easy for people to become extremely vocal and angry when all you've got is a screen and everything. It takes all of the humanity out of the situation. I'd always say, do as you would be done by in life.
And it's very easy to vent on a keyboard.
Exactly. And typically what happens is people could be a keyboard warrior behind the keyboard and the screen, and then they're nothing like that
the
in real life.
The same people wouldn't go up to that person in the street and start giving the same sort of tirade. They just wouldn't do it.
No, they wouldn't. Absolutely.
It's easy to be a big person when you're hiding behind a screen. Life tips from the Incense Podcast.
See, we've matured.
I just want to say, and I said this last time, thank you for recording a message and sending it in to us. I think the last time you recorded one in, it sounded like it wasn't nighttime, it was daytime. It sounded like you were on a farm. I could hear like loads of animals in the background. It was quite nice hearing all the crickets.
Goat bell.
Well, the goat bells as well. I almost felt like I was on that walk with you. It was quite atmospheric as you're walking around. Now, thank you for that message. It was really nice. And hey, guys, I'm not being funny. Having a listener from south of India is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
And voice noting
cool.
in. Yeah, fantastic. Thank you for sending that
but
in.
But boys, we're not done with the correspondence. We don't just have a listener in India. We have a listener in Australia, and they've sent us a letter.
Surprised that dog's still alive.
Yeah, the dog's still alive. We did feed him. We do feed him in our absence. But Milo's BFF has written into us.
Kamala,
yes. The koala himself. The huge 6'12" Kamala has written into us. And he says...
Galala, was that Galar?
Galar.
My dearest Incensed Podcast, I write to you with a conundrum. And I'm hoping for a potential of some crowdsourced guidance. Yeah, Lachlan is actually literally wanting a little bit of help here. He's not content with being on one podcast. He wants to be on many podcasts.
He's spreading the love.
Is he asking for our input or someone else's?
No, he goes one step further. He's wanting Mark to get his poll out.
Oh, hang on, I haven't done a segue yet.
Yeah, and I'm not a performing monkey.
I have 99 Pokemon powered up to level 50. And I would like y'all. That's not Australian, Lachlan.
No.
What do you mean y'all? You're not from Texas.
Y'all.
To decide y'all. Between the following four options as to which hundo should be maxed out next and will be my 100th level 50 Pokemon.
I thought, Ian, you were going to say that Lachlan's got 99 problems.
But Milo ain't one.
One of them.
Back to the letter. Sadly, my namesake Kamala wasn't as prevalent a Wildspawn over the weekend, so I wasn't able to even get to 50 XL candy with it. The options for my 100th level 50 Pokemon are Purified Moltres, Double Fire and Return, Phalanx, Heatran, Overquill. Thanks for helping decide. I'll max whatever is decided the second this episode releases. I really don't want to say this sign-off, but I suppose I've got to. With thanks, Milo's distance... Australian husband, Lachlan, spelt Lachlan, LF Kamala.
Why did you sign off? We proofread these letters, Ian. Thanks for using the old school method of communication.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Lachlan.
For the letter. Thanks for the dog didn't
eat
it.
You are a cheeky person wanting us to put this to a vote.
Hmm. We decide what Mark does with his poll.
And it's staying
my
body.
Voice.
Firmly.
Yes. It's firmly... tucked away until I announce its arrival.
Okay, so let's have a talk then. So his options are a Purified Moltres, Phalanx, Heatran, and Overquill.
I'm going to be that guy because I don't like Purified Hundo.
I mean, we could really stitch him up here and pick the worst one.
My vote goes for the Purified Hundo Moltres so that when people look at him, they see that he's purified a good Shadow IV Legendary to a Hundo and basically burnt its attack.
Oh, there is that. See, I would have said Heatran, to be honest.
I didn't even know what Overquill was. I haven't got it in my Pokedex. So I was like looking at that going, which one's that?
I just thought, if you pick one of the others, Mark, then basically we've all picked one. He'll have to go for the one that hasn't been chosen.
Overquill. Yeah. I'd go for Overquill, you know, or maybe Phalanx, just to make... to make it a bit easier. Overquill or Phalanx, Lachlan, if that helps you.
So make of that what you will, Lachlan. Yeah.
So we've given you three different options.
He's going to pick yours, isn't he, Milo?
Yeah, he will. He'll pick his long distance.
Ooh, bestie.
Ooh, best friend.
Well, thank you for the letter, Lachlan, the 6 foot, what was it, 12 Australian that you said, Ian?
I think so, yeah.
I could see something else that's 6 foot 12 behind Mark.
So, we put a poll out. We kept it Pokemon Go related this week because we've talked about the upcoming Adventure Week being pretty lit, certainly in terms of the egg hatching anyway.
Certainly looks like it.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Four Pokemon. The question was, which shiny are you hoping to hatch the most during the upcoming Adventure Week event in Pokemon Go? I did put on it, please vote and do not retweet or we will find you! Exclamation mark.
So we're ramping up the... the necessity not retweet.
Was it Kamala's passive-aggressive tendencies were coming out?
Yes,
then?
Yes.
They were in that letter, weren't they?
Yes. So we had 100 votes on the poll. The options were obviously Tatuga, Archon, Amora and Tyrant. We had 10 people retweet. So 10 people, we will find
bad,
you.
10%.
Thank
yeah.
you for that. Not bad at
Thank
all.
Thank you very much.
In fourth place with 2%. We've got Tatuga.
Oh, I like that shiny.
It's a good shiny.
I do.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling the older ones are going to score that little probably lower on this one.
Probably.
In third place with 7% of the vote.
Archon?
Archon.
Oh, yeah.
Solid shinies. I've not got any of these.
Yeah.
And in second place with 37% of the vote is the one that I'm actually after the most. It's Amora.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So you're in the other camp, the ice dinosaur.
Ice dinosaur with 54% Tyrant.
Yeah.
I do get it.
That little T-Rex.
Oh, it's a big blue T-Rex when it evolves. It's just sick.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Nice.
Yeah, can't wait for it.
Toit.
It's a toit. Dinosaur. Toit Rex.
Oh my God, Jesus. Let's quickly move into a section that Cricket also has sung the jingle for. I'll jump in with one from Shan, one of the good friends of the podcast, who regularly joins us for one of the community days. Spot the shiny. Hashtag shinies of the week. Hashtag daily incense. Incenses sometimes pay off at Incense Podcast, and it's the screenshot of the summary of the daily
sork.
Adventure.
Yeah.
Daily Adventure Incense, and it's quite subtle on that little screen, but it is a shiny sork that was picked up off of Daily Incense out of the 24 Pokemon from it. Very big congrats on getting that Daily Incense blue shiny. Nice.
I've got one on Instagram. You can also hashtag shinies of the week on Instagram, people, and a few people do, to be fair. So we've got one from Pokey evo.cec. They've put, I really can't believe my luck recently, on hashtag Squirtle Community Day, I've got the family and one extra off the hashtag Squirtle Squad Shinies. And this week, I've got two Shiny Party Hat Charmanders.
Nice.
It feels even better getting them this time as I didn't get any Shinies last time around. I hope everyone else had a great Community Day. Apart from some issues with the game, we've spoken about that tonight, and Grace, hashtag Pokemon Go Anniversary Event. Yeah, they've actually posted their best one of the two Shiny Party Hat Charmanders. This one was a nice CP519, which was a 15-13-11.
And I'll round it out. Mark Bailey tweeted us at Incense Podcast, hashtag Shinies of the Week. 14 Squirtle on Community Day, plus these 8. Don't remember the 7th anniversary event being shiny boosted, but never had this much shiny luck before. Ponyta, I've been after since a release too. Yeah, me too. And Mark got 4 shiny Ponyta during the anniversary event, a shiny Tepig, 2 shiny Meowth, and a shiny Rufflet. So,
wow. They smashed it.
Massive event, matey. And yeah, I want one of those ponies off you.
I will take your horse.
I will take your little horse. My little pony.
My little Ponyta. Even if we don't read them out, thank you very much for sending through your shinies of the week. We love seeing what fortune is bestowed upon you while listening to our podcast. But that, unfortunately, is going to do it for this week. So if you did enjoy the show, you can hit the plus or follow or subscribe button on the podcast platform you are listening to us on, so that you never miss a Sunday release. And if you could do, a 5-star review would be smashing. Give our show a stat boost and also calm Coops's angry vibes for Spotify. That would be fantastic. And we can't say goodbye from a show without saying a massive thank you to all of our fantastic Patreon members. Everybody who is a bronze or silver tier, thank you so much for your support. And a special shout out to every single one of our gold tier members, without whom we would not be able to do the podcast and produce it to the standard that we do and whether we're proud to present to the world. So the gold members are Hermes Ninja, JB, Clifford Mert, Darby Russ, Kerry and Zachary, Connolly, MLFault 2022, Apex 171, Professor 58, K Technogal, Mufti, and Barside 2. Thank you so very much for continuing to support us making this podcast. We really do appreciate it so much. We should catch you all next week for the Casual's return and his favorite thing, a couple of games.
Boys, good news.
What?
Yes, we have got the Angry Coops Pokemon making its Spotlight Hour debut.
Was it being indicted again?
It has, on July, Tuesday, 25th.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Get the one with the pink hair one.
The comb over.
That's the one.
Yeah. Twite.
The pink comb over. Well, on that raging bombshell.
Raging.
Tschüss. Auf Wiedersehen.